a place that devoted all the revenues to the operation of the cemetery and not to pay anybody else. Part of the motivation to build the chapel derived itself from the changing burial practices in the late 1800s. For many years, the idea of a funeral home was really that of an undertaker, where the body was embalmed and then the body may be taken to the home for display or to the church. Well, many people did not have a church to for a burial purposes, so the cemetery developed the chapel to fulfill the need of that particular population. The other factor involved with that is that to come out to services at the cemetery, frequently they were, back in those days, they were called graveside services. And if the weather was bad, it really didn't work well to have a graveside service. So the chapel fulfilled that purpose by providing a sheltered location and where a service could be conducted, and then the body would be interred at a later date when the weather had improved. This was particularly true during heavy rains, very cold weather, snow, etc. So the chapel served that purpose. As time went on and technology improved, those particular needs for the chapel changed, and it became a place to hold a service, which was very popular up until the First World War. And then after that period of time, things began to change. But that was the whole practice of the cemetery in those days. Our approach to it was quite different. However, the chapel continued to serve the purpose of providing the opportunity for someone to have a service, even if you did not have a church where you could do that. Over the years, funeral homes expanded their size and or their capacity so that they could have a gathering area within that where they could hold a service at the funeral home. And so they, in essence, became in competition with each other for providing those kind of services for those who, at the time of need, at the end of life.
Yeah, and you make the point about how the cemetery was even supposed to serve all denomination and really someone that really didn't even have a denomination. And I think like that's kind of like what funeral services kind of do. Funeral services are not really denomination affiliated, at least to my knowledge. Building off that, I wanted to discuss a little bit about all the denominations that are buried at the cemetery. Now, I do know you mentioned before that it's predominantly Protestant, but there are denominations. And when you say predominantly Protestant, but still it's not like a specifically a Baptist or specifically a Methodist, it's all sorts of Protestants and Christians. So could you just maybe discuss really just like the history of just all the type of denominations that have been buried and used the chapel as a service?
At Forest Home, it reflected the practices of the late 1800s, early 1900s. And the largest cemeteries in Milwaukee, and probably true through much of the nation, were Catholic cemeteries. And then the next large group of people who had cemeteries were Lutherans. Many of them were associated with the location of their church, particularly in more rural areas. Mm-hmm. When you came to an urban location, the cemetery served a very diverse population. And at place like Forest Home, for want of a better term, anybody could be buried there as long as you could purchase the property that was necessary. My experience over the years is that we have people who were born of the Jewish faith but buried at Forest Home rather than a Jewish cemetery because they married a Gentile. Hmm. And so the Jewish cemeteries wouldn't let, so to speak, a mixed marriage be buried at that location, so they're at Forest Home. Other groups that have been buried at the cemetery are Muslim populations, which were looking for grave locations that would face the east. that it was a particular requirement that they needed at that time. The chapel serves just about everybody in providing a space for it, so we call it a non-denominational chapel. We do have, quote, the Christian cross available, but if it's not a Christian ceremony, the cross is just removed from that location, and it's the physical space.
Mm-hmm.
It's not consecrated space, so therefore it doesn't have that religious connotation to it. It is literally a gathering place. It's called a chapel, but it is a gathering place and serves that purpose.
Now, you previously mentioned the changing practices that was going on in the cemeteries, especially after the First World War. And in my research, I came across, like, in 1929, it wasn't added to the chapel, but there was a flower chapel shop added to the south side of the main office building. And then about 20 or so years later, they also have the chapel gardens right across the chapel with the crypts and everything. So do you possibly know any background that went into those decisions to kind of have those two add-ons to the chapel and the cemetery?
Yeah, the flower shop, as it was referred to, is an outgrowth of the greenhouses that the cemetery had to grow the flowers that they needed for cemetery purposes. The larger issue with growing flowers was to sell them to people who came, particularly on Memorial Day, and would plant geraniums, etc., on the grounds. Plus, the cemetery had large floral displays of their own in terms of plantings throughout the cemetery. So the floral shop was developed. It served the general public in addition to customers coming to the cemetery. Interestingly enough, the flower shop was closed in 1982 because it was considered to be in competition with local florists. And since it had the not-for-profit designation, it had, quote, an advantage. And the IRS ruled that they could not sell flowers of that type anymore. What has changed over the years is the use of flowers in funeral memorialization has declined dramatically. Where at one time cemeteries would be floral abounding, today they are minimized, and lots of the flowers you find in cemeteries are plastic or silk, as opposed to fresh or planted flowers. The chapel gardens, which you referred to, are really an above-ground mausoleum, and it became popular in the 1950s as part of the changing cemetery practices. And so the chapel gardens were named because they were right next door to the chapel. It was just a kind of a marketing approach to it. But that section of the cemetery has been full now for a good 10 years. It originally could accommodate 6,000 interments at the chapel gardens, but there's no additional space there anymore.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you mentioned how the flower shop was kind of for all. It really continues on the function of the cemetery as serving the serving everyone. So kind of continue on talking about cemetery practices. As history continues, you don't, like, I feel like there was a lot more services, like funeral services, like in the very early age, like you mentioned, funerals used to have an abundance of flowers, and used to be this whole ordeal. And I feel like that's not really like a thing anymore, but the chapel, like, had to still go on. The cemetery still had to survive. So one thing that I came across in my research was, like, the chapel now hosts weddings. Do you possibly know any like background or information about like when the first wedding there happened and why the chapel decided to take on that practice and offer that service to people?
I'm not completely sure when the first wedding took place. However, for staff that had been there for 30, 40 years, they reported the first one took place in 1992. And it was a couple that on their first date came to Forest Home and walked the grounds. And once they became engaged, they asked if they could be married in the chapel. And they said, sure. They had never thought about it. They never crossed their mind that anybody would want to use it for a wedding. They're probably holding only about one or two weddings a year. It just depends on the people and what their interests are. Getting a wedding invitation to a cemetery location might be considered to be unusual, but it's used in that fashion. Occasionally there are lectures that are held there. They're sponsored by the cemetery themselves. So many things have changed over the years in terms of the use of a cemetery, the purpose of a cemetery. Many cemeteries now are trying to portray themselves as community gathering places and where people can come and participate in various kinds of activities. They actually develop kind of public facilities that people can use, and in many respects that's what the chapel is becoming today, as opposed to a place for lots of funerals. They're now trying to make it available for community groups to hold an event, a participation of some kind.
Yeah, it's actually, if you think about it, it actually is kind of full circle. But like in the beginning of the cemetery's history, it was kind of as a place to leisure, and it seems like it's kind of going back to that. So could you possibly speak a little bit about kind of the time period when it kind of fell off as like a place that like people would go to as like a place of leisure on the Sundays or just take a stroll into the garden, and then also kind of the revitalization to try to bring that back?
In terms of Forest Home Cemetery, the leisure aspect of it, of people coming to it on Sundays, starts right after the Civil War. By that time, Forest Home has begun to develop its character, and the number of burials have increased, and there were roads that you could either take your buggy on or walk on a Sunday afternoon that was pleasurable. That practice continued on for another 25 or 30 years until Milwaukee County began to develop parks. The other real competition you might have had for leisure space were the beer gardens that were found in Milwaukee. All the major breweries had a beer garden, but those were primarily for men. Women could attend, but there were limitations in terms of what they could do. And so the need for a public space was filled by Forest Home for a long time. As the park system grew, there was less and less need of doing that, but people continued to visit their, quote, family. It was part of many rituals that families had to, so to speak, pay respect to your elders. And so days like Memorial Day and so forth were very important, and the cemetery was actually very crowded with people who came to pay their respects, plant their flowers, whatever they were going to do accordingly. By the First World War, the size of funerals was beginning to decline. They weren't as big as they had been. Moved away from what were known as the family lots to mom and pop lots, just mother and father, as opposed to entire families being buried at a specific location. And that trend continued. And I think, as I indicated earlier, the biggest change for most cemeteries has been the shift from in-ground burial to cremation. And that's really a nationwide phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And of course, cremation offers different kinds of final dispositions. A lot of people who are cremated do not end up in a cemetery.
Yes. So we're kind of talking about how the cemetery kind of it evolves as a gathering place. And to my knowledge, you kind of started these tours that are given at the cemetery and the chapel. Could you possibly go into the decision behind that and why the cemetery and chapel decided to offer these tours to the public?
The tour concept evolved out of two things. There's always people who are interested in family history, ancestry, so to speak. The other aspect of the tour was to try to get people to come to the cemetery, kind of a soft pedal marketing approach to getting people to there. Forest Home's real advantage is it has many historical figures associated with Milwaukee, particularly from people from the 1850s through basically Second World War. You have 27 of Milwaukee's 44 mayors buried there. You have many of the beer barons that are located there. And it also has a large collection of monuments that are, quote, disproportionate compared to what today's burials would be. And a lot of, in the 1800s, in that Victorian era, demonstrating your social standing and your wealth was carried on in the afterlife by having a large memorial as part of your family location. And so that makes the cemetery kind of unique. It's rare to have anybody have a large memorial in the modern era. It's just not considered to be, for want of a better term, good expenditure of your money. So the whole memorialization practices have changed over time.
Nice. So could you possibly just go in a little more about like the tours, the functions of the tour, like how it like kind of encapsulates the continuum of the cemetery as a gathering place, and then also if there's just like any interesting stories that you have of from any tours that you've given.
Well, the first tour that we developed is, we call it the Milwaukee History Tour. It's a good sampling of Milwaukee history, basically 1850 to 1900. It focuses in on that period of time. It includes political figures. It includes tragic events that took place in Milwaukee. It includes a lot of industrialists and people whose names we're familiar with because the streets of Milwaukee are named after them. Mm-hmm. So that was the first tour. The second tour, and probably our most popular, is the Beer Barons Tour. We have the majority of all the major beer barons of Milwaukee, both large and small breweries, buried at Forest Home. The next tour that was developed was a Civil War tour. We have over 1,100 Civil War veterans, a number of generals, and significant Civil War individuals. And then the fourth tour that was developed was the Women of Milwaukee. It's an unusual topic because most history in that period of time is associated with men. But we had an individual that was willing to research women who made contributions to Milwaukee history. And that became a fairly popular tour, particularly with women, because these were people that most people never heard of. And then we developed a tour called Cemetery Art and Symbolism. There's a lot of symbolism, particularly in the Victorian era, on grave markers. and to explain that and understand why people did what they did. For example, the peaceful dove or the palms associated with Palm Sunday in Christianity, and a lot of different flower symbols that are there, the lily being purity, so forth like that. And the more recent tourists that have been developed is one on the streets of Milwaukee. And what you do is you use the name of the street, one that people will know very well, and then you at the graveside you tell them about the history of the person. Mm-hmm. And so that works well. And then another one is industrial Milwaukee. A lot of Milwaukee's early industrialists, everybody from Harnish Fager to Ellis, E.P. Ellis, Ellis Chalmers Corporation, Nordberg Manufacturing, Rex Nord, mm-hmm. they're all buried at Forest Home. So the tour itself for the industrialists would be at the graveside, you would explain what they did, not who they were, but what their industry did, mm-hmm. and how it played a role in developing Milwaukee's industrial base in the 1800s. So the tours have proven to be popular. For a number of years, they were free. So in Milwaukee, it was a good deal to go to a free tour. Today, the charge is $5 for a tour. And it continues to draw people. There's almost a tour every Sunday. Not every Sunday, but particularly three Sundays a month, there will be a tour, each of them. Some of them are repeated, but the attendance is good. The biggest turnout for a tour, and the only one that's still free, is Memorial Day. And that's Milwaukee History Day, because so many people come. Yeah. It's a little hard to get into charging them, because they come to the cemetery for one thing and find out there's a tour, and so that one's free.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you guys have that memorial tour, because as you previously mentioned, Memorial Day kind of seems like a significant day for the cemetery and the chapel's history. It seems like they always have some type of service related to Memorial Day, though, which brings me to mention. So we've mentioned funerals, cremations, weddings, tours, Memorial Day events. Is there any other type of services that we haven't mentioned that the chapel or the cemetery provides?
Well, they're currently developing a larger open-air public space for use of small concerts, mm-hmm. a string group, not a rock group, but events like that. An interesting thing that they're going to try this coming year is to clean old headstones. Mm-hmm. There are actually people who will volunteer to come in and do that. One of the things I've learned by being at the cemetery, there are different grades of stone, and some stones are very soft and they absorb the acids in the air, the dirt that's in the air, and then it gets to look really shabby or old. But there is a way of cleaning them, and my understanding is that sometimes in June, the first team of six people will start cleaning the older headstones. It's just another way of getting people involved in the cemetery. They also have a 5K run. It's done in association with St. Luke's Hospital in the summer. And it's an unusual run. Runners like it because it's different. And there's also now a bike ride throughout the cemetery. If you follow all the curved roads and go to the section that's on the other side of Cleveland Avenue, you have about 11 miles of roads, so you can get a nice bike ride. And the person who does it then has stops along the line and talks about certain things about the cemetery. Not necessarily the people or the monuments, but something like that. And the new one this year is a tree tour. There's a wide variety of trees. The cemetery has approximately 2,300 trees on the property, and a number of them are what they call specimen trees. And so they're going to have a tree tour starting this year.
That's really interesting, especially I'm assuming those trees have always been there, because especially in my research, when I came across like the garden cemetery, one of the goals of a garden cemetery was to preserve as much as a national landscape. So to your knowledge, have any of those trees been planted there, or have they like kind of just always been there?
Well, originally the property had a lot of trees on it, and some trees had to be removed to create burial space. However, if you drive around Forest Home, you'll see there's a lot of old oaks that are well over 100 years old.
That's so cool.
They are big, they're old, but the cemetery has to take down trees every year because they age out, and they plant trees every year. The biggest challenge is where you're going to plant a tree, because there's gravestones everywhere, so you have limited options of what you can do. And they do, in this day and age, plant only native species to Wisconsin. Those are most hardy and survive better. Years ago, some people wanted to do more unique trees, but they don't do well in the environment that we have.
Cold Wisconsin weather.
Cold Wisconsin weather is the phrase. So the tree tour will be interesting to see how that plays out as drawing people.
Yeah, I plan on attending one of the tours. After I came across it in my research and I saw that you guys offer them, I'm like, I have to go to one of these. So we are coming up on time. So I want to just appreciate you for your time. And with the final question, I just want to ask, is there anything that I didn't ask that you would want to mention?
One of the things that allows cemeteries to survive over time is an idea that goes back to probably just before the Civil War. The cemeteries began to talk about something called perpetual care. And the idea of perpetual care was that when, as you as an individual, bought property as the cemetery, a certain portion of that would be set aside into an endowment. Be the proper term for it, but they used the term perpetual care back then, and it has survived to this day as a cemetery term, saying that we've invested our monies accordingly. When you encounter a cemetery that, so to speak, failed and being overgrown and whatever, it's an indication that their perpetual care monies did not last the way they should. And in some cases, people mismanaged the money or whatever, or they didn't set enough aside to go the long distance. So it's something that frequently we don't talk about, but like Forest Home, if you've been there 173 years, you had to do something to survive that long.
Yes. Thank you for your time, and I really appreciate everything that you've done.
Thankfully, we're done.